In this episode, I reflect on my recent conference with all the Dressage Naturally instructors, and I share one piece about priorities for teaching. So here we go, episode 256, Teaching Priorities. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Last week, I had a very special 3 days where all the Dressage Naturally instructors came to the Temenos and we had our conference. And there's five instructors now. Shelby Hume is in Kentucky. Shauna Lewis is in North Carolina. Lisbeth Jorna is in the Netherlands. Michelle Young is in British Columbia, Canada. And Nikki Wild Broadhead is in Utah. And these are amazing women. And I just want to say off the top of, you know, at the top here, I do not have an instructor program. So I know somebody will be thinking about that right now. There's no path to becoming an instructor except just to be in the community, learn from Dressage Naturally, show up, and you know, when these special people came along and I got the opportunity to know them and know who they are on the inside and see who they were as horsemen, I brought them into the team. But I do apologize. I have not made a path. It's not part of my business model, and I'm sure there will be more, and maybe this will change in the future. But right now, it's just so important to me what kind of human that they are. And then what kind of horseman and horse lover they are, and then teaching the techniques. That's the easy part. So anyway, I just want to say that off the bat because I know somebody is going to be thinking about this. But anyway, it was so fun to have them all here with me for 3 days. And so I wanted to share just some thoughts. I mean, there's no way I can share everything that we did and talked about, but I'm sure it will come out in over several podcast episodes, and I will be making some videos in the that will show up in the video classroom from some of the lessons and horses and people that we played with while they were here. So yeah, so you'll see more. Stay tuned. And because they were coming, you know, I took a moment to kind of sit down and go, all right, what are we gonna, you know, what do I want to emphasize? What do I want to share with them while they're here? And I sat with it for a little while, and I shared this in my weekly email, but I thought, okay, what's the most important thing for being a professional horsewoman the way we all are in Dressage Naturally? And what experience do I want them to have to really set the tone, to open them up to this amazing life we have and this amazing job we have that we get to play with horses and humans. So after we met inside, the first thing that we did was go out to the barn, and we all went into the front of the barn, the front paddock of the barn, and we formed a circle. You know, there's something beautiful about a circle where all members are equal. And we included in that circle several horses. So it was person, horse, sort of thing. And we all made this circle. And then I took a ball and I threw it in the middle. And these three horses are my varsity team for throwing the ball. And for about a half hour, we just played throw the ball and catch the ball. And it's really fun because it's, you know, I taught it to them, but really those horses just love this activity. So yeah, we give them cookies, but they're not doing it for the cookies. They're just doing it because they actually love to pick it up and fling it. And we've practiced it and I've shaped it enough that they're really fun. So you can see a video. I posted it on my Facebook page. I also posted it on my YouTube channel. I will put a link to it in the show notes. And I edited it down to, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes. And you can just see my horses picking up the ball, chucking it. If it goes to a human, they throw it to a horse. If it goes to a horse, the horse throws it. It might land with another horse. There's times where it just, like, one horse throws it to another horse and that horse throws it to another horse. And you will hear grown women professionals giggling like little children and horses just playing and playing and playing and playing. So it was super fun. But I also thought, you know, what a beautiful way to start this conference with the instructors. I mean, there's so much serious stuff that we can talk about and learn and teach, but this was the most important thing. I say all the time that horsemanship and life are lessons in lightness, right? You get serious results without being so serious all the time. That's not just a meme. It's not just a cute thing to write. So this is an expression of how we be with horses. So I invite you to, I hope you watch that video. And I'm just so happy that I let myself do that. I could feel a little bit of pressure of, like, you can't do that, Karen. You got to do something like really meaningful or well, that was meaningful. But this sounds, you know, a little more important and maybe a 5-step or a flow chart or something, you know, serious. But luckily, I told that brain gremlin to go away. And I thought the best thing is that we just be. And it's also another really important piece of being a professional, because one of the challenges of being a professional is you are in the public eye or you're standing there with a client who's paid you some money, and it's so easy to feel that pressure, the pressure to impress, right? The pressure to be more than what you are or to seem to be more than what you are because of some special occasion, the video camera's running or someone's staring at you, watching, you know, or, oh my goodness, I'm going to post this on Facebook. And it's something that all of us are aware of. I mean, I'm sure every single person is aware of this pressure. Some handle it better than others, but it's really important to be conscious of it. And so in this today's climate, things are not always as they seem, it's more and more important to really be authentic. And so when I felt that pressure of, oh my gosh, here are these amazing people, they've traveled, they flew across an ocean in one case to be here, I could feel myself thinking, I have to be more impressive than what I am to rise up to this special occasion. And so I felt that, and I thought, actually, they're here to dive deeper into what I teach and who I am with horses, and to be part of my evolution also, because it's real. And so I just thought, can I really do that? Can I really bring everybody out to play catch with my horses? And it was the best thing to be able to really just be and really be light. And of course, afterwards, we talked about how this was not some silly thing. You know, I call them silly horse tricks. But those horses were there because they wanted to be there. And they were repeating this behavior for 20 minutes because they wanted to. After we did that, we went into the barn aisle and we're talking in there while another horse of mine, Ovation. Ovation's not on the throw team because he just likes to pick things up and just, like, hand them to me. So he wasn't part of the catch team, but he hung out in the barn. And so as we were in there talking about very deep stuff and horsemanship and life and training and teaching, we were in there for probably about an hour. The whole time, Ovation would go over, find a toy, and bring it over to me. And I'd give it to him, or he'd give it to me, I'd take it. And then he'd go and he'd get another toy and bring it over to me. Or he'd pick up the same toy and hand it to me, and did that the whole time we were talking. And so again, like there's a horse really all in offering a behavior easily for free, not for the rewards, because he enjoyed doing it. And what could be a better example of what we're trying to create? We're trying to create behaviors from horses that they will put effort into and want to do it and put their attention on it and repeat it over and over and over again. And so the power of finding things that your horse likes to do, and then how can we use that and how can we learn from that to end up having them try things that we want to do and have it become perhaps somewhere close to something that they want to do also. Something else that became a really clear theme as we went through the 3 days and we got to play with some other people and their horses on the ground and riding, which was super fun. And again, being in the moment, not using these people and horses to ahead of time think about what I wanted to use them to demonstrate, but just to be open and go, okay, we're going to show up and we're going to see what happens with this person and horse. And in the moment, in real time, like you do when you have to teach, to just see what we see and then see where we go from there. And so how time and time again, we could see examples of how the dressage naturally principles and priorities always apply. You know, no matter what the subject, these always come into play. And you can find those principles and priorities on my website. I can post a link to that too. I've done podcast episodes going deep into them, but they always are at play. And it's really interesting to continue to see how those, again, nice little phrases written on the website are actually actionable and to see how they're actionable. Another thing that came up that's always interesting as a teacher is to see how just picking the exercise is only part of the puzzle. And sometimes in order to have the exercise work, you need to help the student process it differently than they normally do with their normal habits of thinking and speaking. And how do we tempt people to try a different way of thinking and speaking without it becoming feeling like you're, you know, being rude or saying, don't talk so much, or, you know, so we had a sort of a fun way of being clever about how to help a person's brain work for them better. And the same way we make suggestions and set horses up to think about things differently, we can do that with people too, in a really gentle and fun way that causes them to approach something with a different perspective. So that was super fun. I know that's probably sounds like big, but also vague. I'll have to do more episodes about that maybe, or I don't know, maybe that's just secret stuff that I share really only with dressage naturally instructors. Anyway, for now, the other thing that we did while I was, that I did while they were there is I did a talk about the problem of cruelty. Some of you may have seen the talk I did for a different group online about it. And so we did it in person locally, which was really, really fun. I was a little bit preaching to the choir, but that's okay because we were able to explore it more and really look at those little moments, not the really extreme versions, but those little moments where, oh, we had a little bit of a bad day, or we had maybe a little bit of a worse decision, or maybe we see something heading in the wrong direction around us or with somebody else or at a show. And we just were able to kind of talk about some ways we could maybe be more helpful. So that was really, really fun also. All right. Well, I think on this episode, what I wanted to talk about is to go actually do, I want to share a little bit more about the teaching and what the priorities in the teaching are. And I think these are so important to share because this is going to be true no matter what you're teaching. And I feel like there's so much room for improvement in writing lessons. And, you know, it has a writing lessons of very militaristic, just shut up and ride kind of history. And I know now, you know, there's so many better teachers, but it really helps to be conscious about how you're approaching teaching. It's not just about watch me and then try to do it, or here's an exercise, just let's keep doing it until it works. But there really is an art to teaching. And so I thought about, to share again with my instructors, of like, what are my priorities? So the name of this episode is Teaching Priorities. It's not about how to teach priorities. It's about what are my priorities for teaching and related to teaching. So I thought I'd just kind of go through those and list them really quick, and then I can talk about them more as we go. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally Video Classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1 week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. So the most important things when teaching, in order, are number one, create a safe, relaxed space. You want to get a sense of the student's fears, worries, or confusions. Then you want to establish a useful dialogue. Then you want to locate them on the map. You want to really get a sense of the big picture. Where are they and where do they want to go? Determine and agree upon an impactful piece. What's the piece you're going to do today? Then you want to prioritize that they understand the exercise. Make sure you go until they feel the dynamic of the exercise, the essence. And then you want to make sure you can find a meaningful success that they can feel to end on. And then relax, knowing that the actual ultimate benefit may come later. And actually, that's kind of the same process with training horses too. So let's look at that a little more slowly. So in creating the safe, relaxed space, I want to, you know, especially in an initial conversation with a student for the first time, you want to make sure, like, they're probably, or they can often have some tension, some nervousness. If they've never met you before, you know, they're putting themselves in a vulnerable place. So one of my first priorities is to make sure that they feel safe and relaxed. That can be in my tone of voice. It can be from, you know, holding myself in a relaxed way, in my posture, in, you know, cracking a few dumb jokes, you know, and just make sure that I'm moving in their space in a way that I hope will create some ease. So I'm not the kind of person who's going to march in with authority where everyone's like, ooh, who's that? Like, I'm going to come in and I want to create safe, relaxed spaces. And so then in talking to them also, I'm trying to get a sense of, is there any fear? Is there any worry? And is there any confusion that they're coming to me with about their horse, about previous exercises, about anything, about the environment, about who's watching? You just want to listen for senses of fear, worry, or confusion. And then, you know, hopefully we're talking, we want to establish a really useful dialogue, right? We just want to make sure we're communicating well. That could be, you know, I'm not giving lectures. Hopefully they're not. going off on tangents. Like, we want to just establish some sort of useful dialogue where we're staying on the subject. We also want to locate them on the map. So when I say that, I want to zoom out, right? So it might be here's where I am and here's where I want to go, like get a sense of their goals, but also the big picture according to my protocol, which is this a foundational issue? Is this a biomechanical issue? Is this a gymnastic issue? I'm trying to listen and take a guess. And then after the listening part, I might say, you know, hey, you go do your thing, warm up. I'm just going to stare at you for a little bit. And I try to make sure I see, I'm noticing, okay, they came with me with what they told me they wanted to solve. But if I were just to come down and look at this, like, where really are they? And this is so important because so many times people come for a lesson, they want help with fill in the blank, and the instructor just starts teaching them on fill in the blank. Or they just show up for a lesson and the teacher just starts giving them a lesson, right? Without either of them taking the time to go, okay, but right here, right now, is this the thing? And so once we kind of get a sense of where they are, it's really important to me that I find the impactful piece. Like, what's the most impact? What's going to leave them that if they have that piece, everything else is better? Especially if I might not be seeing them again. Then when you have a regular lesson, things change a little bit. But especially if I come in and maybe I'm going to see them once, or it's a, you know, once or twice, I want to really pick a piece. What's the piece that's going to help all the other pieces be better? And we take a minute to make sure they really understand it. They can follow my directions without really understanding it, but it's going to go a lot better if they do understand it. Because if they understand it, then they're going to know how to talk to their horse, and they're going to understand how to tell their horse when the horse got it or not. If they don't understand when they got it or not, how are they going to tell their horse? And so this is such an important piece, that understanding. And I break it down so they can really, agree. They need to be able to agree that this is what we're doing, so it feels important, so that they can be in the process with me, not just doing what I tell them, like, mechanically. And that's going to help them feel the dynamic. So they don't have to do it perfectly, but what I want to see is they understand that they get the exercise. They get the idea so well that I can see them responding before I tell them to respond. So I set them up of like, okay, this is going to happen. And when this happens, we do this. And, you know, here's the protocol. And it's really, really important that I see that they respond before I have to remind them. And of course, that's part of that safe space, because they have to be able to feel free to respond without waiting to be told. And that is so crucial. And that's how I teach so many of my exercises. And like in the Sweet Spot of Healthy Biomechanics course, like, it's so much about helping the students understand the logic and the options and the dials they can turn and how to recognize when they're feeling what we're feeling for, so that they in that moment can respond to their horse. And that understanding is so crucial to success. Right. So for me, success isn't an exercise got done. It means that the student understood it, was able to communicate it to the horse. The horse responded with an answer. The student communicated, you know, that answer, whether that answer was on target or whether they need something more, back to the horse instantly. And that's what's going to lead to success. Right. And so when I also want to pick, like, what is success going to look like? That's such an important thing as a teacher to think about. And Jennifer Seligs, who's a animal trainer, she has some books out. She's amazing. But she has this saying of going quickly to the threshold and then slow down. So when I'm trying to determine, all right, what exercise are we going to do today to make it impactful? You know, what's the exercise we're going to do? It's important to find you know, the meaningful success. And that meaningful success is determined by what you figured out and agreed upon was going to be the impactful piece that you need, right? So you've got to decide, is the impactful piece building confidence in what they already can do? Is the impactful piece a very specific behavior that the horse needs to understand the communication of? Is the impactful piece an emotional shift? So there's a million impactful pieces it could be. And so once you get the piece, now you've got to figure out, what does a meaningful success look like? Is it, you know, you want a success that's appropriate for what you're trying to do. And you also want to make it, if you make it easier, then it'll build confidence. If it's, you know, but if you're trying to get behavior change, it might not be, it's like, okay, we got there. But if we keep taking that smallest step, it's going to take our whole life to get there. Right? But if it's too hard, then you won't be successful. And then, you know, that's the opposite of progress. Because now you not only didn't get it, but now you're feeling more discouraged or more confused. So it's really important to find, like, what's the meaningful piece that's going to feel like it's going to give you the essence of what you're looking for. And again, it's going to have a positive impact. And so that phrase, go quickly to the threshold and then slow down, means, you know, get through the simple stuff, you know, try to find quickly, unless you're just doing things to build confidence and then stick with the easy stuff and be really successful, and that's helpful. But if you're trying to progress something, you know, take small steps, but go through those small steps quickly. It's like, oh, we got that. Okay, let's try this. Okay, we got that. We try that. Try it, you know, get it one notch more. And then you get to a point where, like, ooh, that's getting a little more challenging. Now slow down, stay, see, you know, back off. If you went forward an inch, back off a half an inch. And start thin slicing and start to build the success more slowly, so you don't go too far and get unsuccessful, discouraged, frustrated, confused, all those sorts of things. Okay, and then the last piece, and this is really important, is to relax knowing the benefit may come later. And this is where, oh, so often, maybe not in the weekly lessons or the daily sessions, but when you're giving a clinic or, you know, giving a demonstration, you know, putting on a show about your teaching and training, it's so tempting to feel like you need the big dramatic breakthrough. And sometimes even in a lesson, you know, you got to get it all the way done, or the horse is getting away with something, or, you know, the student's not going to understand it. But if you really take the time to teach in a way you're explaining these essences and these feelings and the dynamic, and you're targeting the understanding and the responsiveness, then you're going to trust knowing, okay, there you have the feeling, do more of that. And you don't have to get all of that stuff done in the time allotment that you have. And to, as a trainer, realize, like, it's, you don't have to make this big dramatic breakthrough. It doesn't have to be right. You just have to take the step where you and your experience know if they keep practicing it like that, they will be successful. And you'll only feel good about that if you're sure that the student understands and you witness their successful playing with that dynamic. You see them doing the responses on their own without you in that lesson. Yeah. And so, you know, in going through all that, you know, I could give lots of examples, or you can get into the nitty gritty details of, like, well, how do you do that? And that's top secret. But think about all of these things also when it comes to training horses. Right? Number one, create a safe, relaxed space and get a sense of their worries and fears and confusions. That's really helpful with horses too. How are we going to do that? Establish a useful dialogue. That could apply to horse training too. Locate them on the map. Try to figure out the impactful piece. What's the piece you're going to do? Prioritize understanding. Let them feel the dynamic. Ooh, when I do this, you do that. And ooh, doesn't that feel better? Where they start to seek it. They show you that they're trying to help you with it because they understand and they get it. And then, you know, finding that meaningful success where the horse feels it. I can tell with my horses, the way I play with them, they can feed off of my vibe, my tone of voice, but I really believe they like get when they got it. You know, so Lana will ask for an appropriate number of cookies afterwards, depending on how successful we were. She'll even like nicker sometimes, but she'll only nicker when she like really does it well. So I really feel like they can feel the success. They can feel that, ooh, here's a puzzle. It was challenging and, oh, I got it. And then especially with the horses, relax, knowing that if you take all the time to pay attention to these pieces, the benefit will come. Just keep doing it like that. I put it in. It's in the system. We didn't hammer it in. We didn't try to fit the square peg into the round hole. We went into the dynamic with the horse's brain and emotions and body, and we looked for them feeling like they understood it and got it and started to help you with it. They got the essence. So it's exactly the same with horses. And doesn't that sound cool? Wouldn't you love a trainer who taught like that? If you're a teacher or a trainer, I hope this like pricked up your little antennas and made you curious about how you could apply that. And if you want to experience this, I mean, this is sort of embedded in my teaching. And if you really want this kind of support, the Finding the Sweet Spot of Healthy Biomechanics course is the place to be, because it's not just an online course, but it's a community, and we do weekly calls with my instructors. And on the calls, it's Q&A, it's coaching, and we teach like this. We have the safe space is a given, because we've created that for over a decade now in this community with this course. But the course teaches you the logic, the protocol, the essence, what to feel. And then when we answer the questions, we're always approaching it from this way. It's not just do this, but we actually help students. We teach how to ask the question, and we teach how to ask a question in a way that they start solving it before they're done asking the question, which is really super fun. So we bring students into this dynamic and teach them the same thing, because the students are the ones out there teaching this with their horses and training their horses. So if you want to experience a taste of this kind of teaching and this kind of support and thought process, and you live across the world, you know, or in the next state, the Sweet Spot course, I cannot recommend it enough. It's so much more than information. And we only open it twice a year. It's not open right now, but it will be soon. You can always go to dressagenaturally.net/sweetspot. That'll bring you there. And if it's, you know, we're opening it soon, mid-March. But anytime, if you want to get into it, you can contact us. But twice a year we open it, and there's a pretty nice discount. So just make sure, if you're curious, that you go visit that page and that you're on my mailing list, so that when it opens, you can be the first to know. Anyway, that's my little story about that. And I hope you found this interesting and helpful. And as always, let me know. Feel free to email me. All right, bye. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email, or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.